The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. Thrilled to be here on this Friday, if you're listening. Thursday, perhaps, or later. If you're watching on YouTube, and you can do that if you want to. I don't want to insult anybody else on the other shows, because we have a lot of different guests throughout the week. But this may very well be our signature show. It's the Pick Show. We lead in. We have at least one expert who's white hot right now. Two guys trying to get a little warmer. As I mentioned.
Wait. Are you going to introduce us before you start bragging on yourself? I mean, no. My gosh.
That's Pete Briscoe. He's in the room with RJ White. What's up, fellas?
Not much. I mean,
RJ, before he even introduces us, he's bragging on himself.
Head over there.
Like, oh, my gosh.
Christ.
What'd you do with all your winnings? Did you get a chalet in Val, like your shirt
on the
says?
YouTubes. Like, how do you fit your head inside that whole box?
Oh my gosh. Hey, Brinson, is that, have you ever been to Val?
Yeah, of course I have.
Okay. Just wondering, cause that looks like one of your many freebies that you get sent to you.
My best friend in the whole world, best friend growing up, Drew. He married a girl whose parents have a place in Val. So we've been skiing up there.
Oh, so you freeload.
Yes, correct.
Okay, good. That's good for you, man. What's good for you is good for you. You know my motto.
That's right. But you know what? Maybe I just paid for the trip with my winnings from last week. 4-2 on the week. That moves me to 35-25-2 as we look at our leaderboard here. Again, you can see the leaderboard on youtube.com/CBS Sports. Go there, click videos, and then check out the green Pick Six podcast logo. As I mentioned, 4-2 last week. 35-25 on the year. 58%, I'll take that. RJ, a rough week, 2-4, now below 500, but that's good for everybody else who's listening to this podcast, because RJ is going to get hot. He will get hot, I promise you. And Pete,
he's giving you the reverse curse.
Hope so.
RJ will get hot. Pete, 4-2.
2 weeks in a row now. Here I come, RJ. I see that number right there. And you know what's funny? Okay, you had an awful week. I had some really bad weeks. He acts like he's like 25 games ahead of us or something. He's 5 games ahead of you, and you're coming off a 2-4.
Coming off of 3 terrible weeks.
Right. Brinson, quit bragging.
Not bragging. I mean, I'm 10 games above 500. I'll take that all day. You won't believe this, but the Pick 6 podcast week 10 parlay was what, Pete?
Loser.
Yes, it was. 2-4, though. Buffalo-Cleveland under hit. Pretty easily. It got a little dicey at the end there. Miami, 2 of 4 hit. Miami plus 10 hit easily. They won outright. They were a money line, dog winner. So, there you go. Dallas minus 3 could have hit if Jason Garrett wasn't a coward. And then the Atlanta New Orleans over never had a chance in hell because the Saints scored 9 points. Maybe, Sean Payton, you should propose the weekend before, not the weekend of your game against a division rival coming out of the bye week. What do you think about that, Pete?
I don't think it had any bearing on it. They just got whipped up front on both lines. They were terrible on Sunday. It was awful.
I'm just telling you, you propose to somebody in New Orleans on Friday, you're not doing a whole lot of work on Saturday. That's all I'm saying.
You don't do a whole lot of work on Saturday in the NFL anyways.
If you fade a New Orleans proposal, then you're 1-0 against the spread. Yeah. It's a streak.
Come on, Brenton. You're searching for something right there. By the way, Dallas, didn't I say on the show last week, I said I like Dallas. We all like Dallas. I go, but something looks fishy about that line.
I put them in the super contest, but I had them lower. I wasn't going to do it, you know, because I was like, we all like them, so I'm just going to take them out. And then, you know, I started eliminating other things, and I'm like, why am I getting scared just because me, Pete, and Will all like the same thing? Let me just move them back in.
I just thought there was something stinky about the line, 3. I really did. So, and we all bet.
As soon as we all liked it, I was like, oh, my God, I'm too far committed to back out now. But I definitely would like to bail on Dallas. So got that going for me. Let's get into the picks, shall we?
Let's do it.
First, I mentioned a thing we all three like. I got some bad news for you. We got another one out of the gates. Texans.
No. Oh, we do?
What?
We have it already? Seriously?
We all three like the same bet on this.
Yeah, the over.
We should definitely put the under in the parlay.
Yeah, you should put the under. We should have a reverse loser parlay and do it that way.
The line's moving the other way, too. Like, it's going down.
It is going down. I don't understand that. And I see two quarterbacks that can score.
Hold on. Just so we know, Texans to the Ravens, 1 o'clock p.m. on CBS. I assume Nance and Romo will be there because it's a big game. Over under 49.5.
Yeah, and I like the Ravens in the game. By the way, I don't love them, but I love the over in this game. I think this is going to be a track meet. I think both quarterbacks can score one can score using his legs and his arm. The other one can really get outside the pocket and make plays. The offensive line of the Texans has been almost fixed, dare I say it. They're much better with Howard playing at right tackle. I think they're really better. I think there's going to be a lot of points in this game. I don't believe in the two defenses, particularly the Texans defense. I think it's a problem. I think this one's going way over the total.
Yeah, they can't make this total high enough for me. He said it's going up. Like, it was 51.5 a day after we locked these lines in at 49.5. So I think it's going the other way. And you can't make it high enough. Both offenses are in the top 4 points per drive. Like you said, the 2-star quarterbacks are in this game. And 2 okay but not great defenses. Baltimore scored 23-plus in every game, 30-plus in their last 3. Houston scored 23-plus in their last 5. You add it up, that's like 46 already. All you need is one more field goal, and we're right there. Yeah, I'm going the over 2. I would lean to the Texans if I'm taking one side. It just seems like the Ravens are a little too easy. Texans coming off a bye on the road, that's a good trend. So I would lean to the Texans against the spread, but best bet for the over also.
Yeah, I took look, so we just saw the injury report. And reminder, we record this on Thursday afternoon. So, you know, new information comes out on Friday. Does it make you nervous at all, RJ, that Will Fuller limited again Thursday with a hamstring? Titus Howard, limited again Thursday with a knee, and Laremy Tunsil, limited again Thursday with a shoulder. Also, should point out that Bradley Roby and Tayshaun Gibson were limited as well. So, I mean, that would help the over, but would you be worried about the over if you were missing 2 offensive linemen for Deshaun Watson and Will?
Not really, because the Ravens pass rush hasn't been exceptional this year. They lost those key guys during the offseason. So obviously you want to have those guys there, but I think they can make it work. I think Deshaun Watson can run around, escape the pocket, throw some touchdowns with one eye if he has to. So that's just what he's good
at. Plus, I think they're going to play, though. I think all the reports say they're going to play. I know they're limited on Thursday, but usually those
limited
kind of things
Thursday,
come,
you tend to play.
Right. You come back on Friday and you play.
Just point out. Look, I like the over too. I bet as soon as it came out, thinking it would get up to 53. It did not. It went down to 49.5. A little, it's just weird. Like, it's a red flag.
You said it's gone up.
It's 51.5 as a Thursday afternoon. 51.5 in most places.
What? Oh, then we love it. Why did it go down to 49.5?
Yeah.
That's what it was on Wednesday. I don't know. And people.
It's 51.5. All right.
Yeah. Hey, we like it over. We like it over. I'd like it over 51.5. I like it really over 49.5.
All right. Well, let's, maybe the, we'll get the podcast, we'll get the social guys on that and get the graphics on there. So are we counting it at 51.5 for our purposes or 50?
No, 49.
I would say 49 because we lock our lines in on Wednesday. We have to get our best bets in, get our graphics going. And, you know,
let me ask you this for the purpose of people listening to this podcast on Friday. How, and throughout the weekend, how high would you take this over? What's your cap that you would take the
53.5?
Yeah. Probably. Yeah, I would agree.
Okay.
All right. It's not going to get to that number, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
No, probably not. But I mean, like, it has climbed 2 points in the last, you know, 48 hours. So that's,
so that is significant. We're all on the Loserville train then.
Ah, we're good.
No, I like this one. This one's good.
12-10. And
look, so it's in the parlay.
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah, it's in the parlay. But yeah, I just wanted to make sure that people who are listening have actionable information. You know, cause it's like, what the F good does 49.5 do right. when it's 52, you know? All right. I lean Texans too, mainly because I think Deshaun Watson would be capable of coming through the back door. And, you know, the Ravens are the better team. They like to run the ball physically, but Houston just plays well. And to me, this is not dissimilar. Did these guys play it in college? I think they did.
They did. They had it was 42-37 and, Deshaun Watson beat them, late. Oh. We just talked about that on the show before, and he beat him late with two touchdown passes late. Jackson ran for 170 in that game.
Well, that was the year before, obviously, Jackson won the Heisman, right? That wasn't Jackson.
No, that was
the year
he won the Heisman.
It was the year he won the Heisman. Oh, and then Deshaun left Clemson, and Jackson had one more year of eligibility because he won as a sophomore and then got picked apart as a junior. You're right. Wow. All right, cool. So, yeah, I mean, like, these guys know the stage, and they're going to be amped up for it, and I think you'll get their best games possible, and they'll – I mean, there's some MVP connotations here too. Like whoever wins the game.
Absolutely. Like,
if Deshaun's not out if he loses, but Lamar gets a monster boost if he wins, and Lamar will take a pretty significant.
If Deshaun loses, he's got problems in the MVP race. He's got problems.
Right.
I mean, what would he do? 4-loss, 6-4. Yeah, that would make him 6-4, right? Or
it might be 7-3.
So was that if Deshaun loses, it makes him. Yeah, his record right now is 6-3. It would make him 6-4, right? Okay.
Six and four right now. He would be 6-4. Sorry,
if he lost. Yeah, that's what I thought.
And the Colts, you know, like they lose. I mean, if the Colts lose Andrew Luck, and then have to play some games with Brian Hoyer, and Deshaun doesn't win the division, he's not going to win the MVP.
No.
All right, Colts. Chiefs at Chargers. It's in Mexico.
They'll have more home fans there than they do at their own home games.
Probably will.
They will.
Chiefs minus 3.5. So it's a neutral field game, obviously. Monday Night Football, ESPN Deportes. Chiefs. No?
I like the Chargers because I think they're going to run on them. And I know they haven't run on anybody that well, but you're starting to see little bits and pieces of it. I think the three of us could line up and get 120 against the Chiefs run defense. They're bad. We saw, and I called that last week. I called Derrick Henry going off against the Chiefs. I love the Titans to win that game outright, and that's exactly what happened. I think that the Chargers are going to run the ball in this game and do a better job of controlling the clock. Mahomes threw for 440 last week, and they lost. I don't think he's throwing for 440 here. I think it's going to be less than that, and I think the Chargers are going to find a way to win this game.
I think you could throw for 440. I mean, games played at high elevation bodes well for the over. My lean is to the over. You can probably get it at 52. We had it at 52.5 in our notes. I would also lean to the Chargers a little bit at +3.5. Chargers got that run game going, like Pete was saying, can exploit that Chiefs weakness. You know, I would give the Chargers a slight edge with their pass rushers against the Kansas City O-line. They've been banged up. People have been sitting. And they've had longer rest because they played on Thursday. So just a slight, if it was 3, I'd probably stay away. 3.5. I'll take the 3.5 with the Chargers and also lean to the over.
I would definitely lean to the over here, and I would anticipate that it goes up. Would want to see field conditions as well before, you know.
They're supposed to be good. They did a lot of – they brought in a consultant, you know, that's worked with the NFL. They didn't schedule anything since, like, June, you know, so the field should be good.
It's not going to look like a cow pasture.
Yeah.
Worth noting, I think this is sort of flying under the radar. Before last year – that game at Kansas City back in December, Chiefs had won, I think, 8 straight games against Phillip Rivers and the Chargers, and it covered in 4 straight games, you know, partially as underdogs. So, you know, that's, I guess, worth noting. Oh, no, excuse me, as mostly as favorites. And the Chargers had, you know, didn't cover as favorites in Los Angeles in September. I just think Andy Reid's got a beat on this team, and I don't know that Phillip Rivers has the offensive line. Like, is Russell Okung going to play? And, you know, Patrick Mahomes looks like he's back. He looks sharp. I don't know if they can run the ball as effectively as they want.
Is Mitchell Schwartz going to play? I mean, he's limited. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't know. He's a bigger loss than Russell Okung. I'll tell you that right now.
Really?
Oh, he's a better tackle than Russell.
He's definitely a better player, but I mean,
the Chargers have operated for half a season without Oakland.
Right.
And they've actually got guys.
But now you got the Chiefs are with 3/5 of their projected starting offensive line gone if he doesn't play.
Now I'm getting nervous about my Chiefs pick.
Don't change it.
I like the over in that game. That's where I would go if I was betting on something. I mean, I picked the Chiefs against the spread in the, you know, in our Pick'ems league and you know, and the thing that I'm leading for CBSSports.com, what's it called? The expert picks? I can't remember.
Yeah, but you're coming back to the pack though. I'm coming hard. I've had a couple good weeks in a row. I'm breathing down your neck.
It's almost like the leaves are turning brown.
Yeah. Or it's coming to the end of the season, I won't be able to catch it, one or the other.
Jaguars at Colts. Colts -2.5, over under 43.5, Pete.
Leonard Fournette. And the reason I say that, in the history of these matchups between these two teams, even when Peyton was there, the one thing Jacksonville did was physically beat him up. And they always have. They didn't like it. They don't like it. And last year they shut him out when they were on a run in Jacksonville. I think this isn't about Nick Foles coming back, although he will be better than Minshew. This is about physically getting after this team. And we don't know if Brissett's going to be able to move around. He's coming off a knee injury. And moving around is a big part of his game. So I like Jacksonville to go in there and win that game outright.
I don't know if it's that big, but yeah, that weird 6-0 shutout.
He still moves.
They're 7-0-1 against the spread since 2015, Jags against Indy. So they just have their number. Having Nick Foles back, I think the Colts could see some different stuff that they haven't seen in the offense. You know, you could scheme up some different things because Minshew was great and he did a great job while he was there, but you can obviously do a lot more with Foles under center. So I think that's something that the Colts can't really prepare for. Road teams off a bye, like I've already said once, is a good trend going back to 2011. So I like them in that spot too. I'm leaning to the Jaguars because we have 2.5 on our line, but threes are out there in the market. If you get three, it would be a best bet for me at three. So, yeah, play three. I think the Jaguars defense might be the best unit in this game, even though we've talked up the Colts a lot, but that defense is playing really well. They're 9th in points per drive. Jacksonville's offense can run on Indy, like you said, Fournette, you know, physical beat them up. And Indy has that big Thursday game next. They go at Houston, a little bit of a distraction. You got two games in 5 days. And that's obviously huge for the division. They've already beat them once. You beat them again, you're right there to win the division. A little bit of splitting your attention there, and all of a sudden the Jags upset you. So I do think the Jags are going to win.
The Jaguars' schedule, by the way, whew, the next seven games, I mean, you look at their schedule, it's if they win this game, then they go to Tennessee, which is always a tough game for them. Don't get me wrong, that's a tough game. But they got the Falcons, they have the Bucks at home, they have the Chargers at home, they have the Raiders.
Talking yourself into a playoff run?
No, but it's just that division. Look, think about that division right now. If they win this week and the Texans lose to the Ravens, that division's tight. That means there's probably not a good team in it. There's a lot of bad teams in it, but somebody bad's going to win the division.
You're not wrong. I like the Jags here, too. They're just getting the points in a game that's been fairly close. It's not like they've, you know, blasted away. The Colts aren't blowing anybody out. The Colts play one-score games. And it's going to come down to the end. They have a bad kicker and Jacksonville, you know, I think is going to get, they're going to get some juice from getting Nick Foles back.
Look at Brinson taking a shot at old Vinatieri. I like it. Yeah. He's by the way, you're right. He stinks right now. He stinks. There's no other way to say it. He stinks.
You can't make it. He missed 6 extra points.
He stinks.
Make an extra point, man.
Retire. He should have retired. Get him out of there.
What would the phrase be? It can be if you're old and slow. You must go.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter when he's a kicker. He's old and a bum is what he is right now. He stinks. He's a Hall of Famer, but go away.
If you're old and pull it, time to bite the bullet.
Wow, I like it. When he misses, by the way, he's not just missing it just left of the upright or just a little short. He's yanking them all over the place.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the Jags have 7 games left on their schedule, right? This is like Nick Foles' time. He gets 7 weeks to just get gassed up and just make a run. What do you think? How many games do they win in their final 7? They can win every one of these games. They're not good
what
teams.
What is it? If all your kicks are a yank, it really means you stank.
I still win that one. Keep trying.
I got something for you. I'm a poet if I don't know. That's like, you know, rap lyric, stank. You can put anything in there.
If you're a kick missing feller, we're going to take you out back and shoot you like old Yeller.
No. you went a long way to get that one.
Keep trying. I still win.
Yes, I just wanted yours to sound better than it is. All right, moving along.
There's threes all out there on the market. So let's get three in the parlay.
Okay, three. Oh, we're taking.
We all like the Jags.
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah.
Let's get three in the parlay.
Yeah.
By the way, did anybody, do you guys see the end of that game last week? It's 4th and 10. He threw a 9-yard pass. It was great. What are they doing?
Well, what about the, they called timeout before the 4th down play and they did something. They went for the end zone on 3rd down. Yeah, like get 4 yards on 3rd down, then run your 9-yard play.
Yeah, there was a lot of botch coaching this week.
Yeah. You know, it's my fault talking up Frank Reich this podcast.
Yeah, that's right. You said he was better than Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin doing a pretty good job.
This is when Mike Tomlin's at his best, by the way.
Well, it's spoiler. We don't know what the hell. I mean, we're recording on Thursday.
Well,
we don't know.
Yeah, right, you're right. But he's done a good job with that team.
You don't want to be saying this and like Mike Tomlin like went full.
I don't care. Whatever happens, he's done a good job.
It's really weird how Cleveland scored 49 points in that game last night, and Tomlin resigned and turned in his badge, and he's gone.
Tomlin fired on Friday morning, and he's still talking. How many games do the Jaguars win in their final 7, Pete? At Colts?
How many do they have to win to make a postseason run? 5 or 6? 6.
5
will get you to 9-7, and that could get you to the division.
Depends on which one. Okay, you go through the schedule. You tell me which ones they're winning. Throw them out there.
I think they're winning this week at Colts.
Okay.
At Titans, they'll lose after they beat the Colts.
Okay.
That's just how it happens. Buccaneers at home, they'll beat the Buccaneers.
Right.
Chargers at home. Chargers stink in Florida, so they'll beat the Chargers.
3-1.
Yep. At the Raiders, they'll lose that game.
You know what? They've traditionally had all kinds of problems on the West Coast, but they beat the Raiders twice on the West Coast, so it'll be tough. If I'm not mistaken, that's going to be the last home game for the Raiders at the stadium.
They'll lose that one for sure.
Yeah, they'll lose that one.
Then at Falcons, they'll win that
one.
Maybe.
And then they'll beat the Colts.
It's at home, yeah.
So they get to 5-2, they get in?
Maybe. They'll be tied for the division lead, probably.
If they tie the Texans, they lose because they lost to them twice. So.
Yeah. Losing that first game against the Texans is going to come back and bite
them. They all might be 9-7, though.
I wouldn't rule that out.
No. 9-7 is a potential wild card in the AFC for sure. All right, so we got Jags and Texans over so far.
Think about that, though, for a second. We're sitting here saying, oh, they'll go to Atlanta and win, but they'll have trouble at Oakland. If we would have said that before the season, we would have been right.
Yeah. Nuts. Yeah. Yeah. If you're right. Bears at Rams, Rams -6.5, the over under a robust 40 points. Pete, you actually like the chalk here.
I do like the chalk here in large part because that chalky number is so bloated and there's a reason it's bloated. Remember, this is the Bears team that beat the daylights out of the Rams last year, kind of sent them on their bad path. I know they went to the Super Bowl, but the offense hasn't been the same almost since that game. I watched the Rams this morning on tape, and their offensive line has issues, but I think they're going to be able to run the ball on the Bears this week, and I think that'll take the pressure off Goff. And on the other side of the ball, I'm never taking Mitch Trubisky. I said it last week. He won. He beat the Lions. Kudos to him. I'm not taking Mitch Trubisky. I'll take Goff. I think he gets it going here. I'll lay the points.
I don't know that he necessarily beat the Lions. They won the game, but Trubisky
three touchdown passes.
Yeah, but they had like 220 yards.
I know. Three touchdown passes.
Not great.
I don't think he's good.
I would also lean to the Rams here on the spread. My best bet's under 40. Both defenses are in the top 5 of DVOA. Both offenses are struggling. That Rams offense with the O-line issues has been terrible against other top defenses like San Francisco and Pittsburgh. They could also have issues stopping the Bears pass rush. Chicago's offense ranks 30th in net yards per pass attempt, 27th in yards per rush. They don't do either thing well, regardless of whether Trubisky got a win last week. Chicago beat that Detroit, but offense didn't look good. That D has really struggled too. So 220 yards against the Detroit defense is a lot different than 220 yards against like Pittsburgh or San Francisco. So I do think it's going to go under. This really feels like Rams win 23-6 or some just ugly game like that, 17-6.
I'm with you. I love the under in this spot. That's one of my best bets. Of course,
let's throw the under in the parlay. I mean, I'll throw it in. It's not one of my best bets, but we can throw it in the parlay because I agree with you guys.
Let's get this parlay up to 6 or 7 so we can go 0-7 on it.
The 40, by the way, is at -115 now too. So by the time it was at 41.5, maybe open to 42, and it's come crashing down pretty quickly. I still think anything. How low would you take it, RJ?
38.5, probably.
Yeah. I'm with him. I think it's going to be pretty. Put that in the parlay for sure.
I mean, look, like the Rams can't score. The Rams offensive line is a disaster. Jared Goff.
Last week they took away Kupp. It was funny to watch it. They took him away. He was frustrated. They had doubles on him. And here's the other thing. The Steelers played with 2 down linemen for much of that game. And they couldn't really run the ball. They had the one run for about 20 yards by Gurley. Other than that, they didn't run the ball. Their line is bad.
Pete, should we be worried about the Sean McVay genius thing?
No, you should be worried about their offensive line. It's hard to call any plays when you don't have an offensive line. That thing is bad. Look, Andrew Whitworth, been one of the better tackles in this league for a long time. He's not even playing that well. Havenstein has played poorly at right tackle. The center, now you got a new center going in there. Not that the other one was playing that much better. Brian Allen wasn't playing that well. And the guards are average at best.
And the issue isn't the line so much as it's the quarterback, because you can overcome a bad line if you have talent at quarterback. I mean, Deshaun Watson has been an excellent quarterback for the first 2 years of his career, and they hadn't got the line fixed until like basically this week. You know, it's been trouble. But so you can overcome stuff if you have a great quarterback. Goff just needs everything perfect around him to have success. And it works. Like, it's worked last year. It worked the year before. But once you start having issues on the O-line, then he can't pick
up. Plus, he doesn't have Cooks. And that hurts him, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that does limit him, because then you can double Cup and then say, Robert Woods, go ahead. And it's not like the tight end is a big – he's a decent Everett, but that's not like he's a big threat. And they haven't run the ball that well. Mm-hmm. It's not just golf. I go back to the offensive line.
My point is, when you have talent at quarterback, you can overcome some of these other issues.
Right, big time talent.
So, you know, Russell Wilson's been as many issues as they've had over the years with that offense.
He's a mover, though.
He can get around. Yeah, and he's got talent. Watson's a mover,
too. He's not
too,
a mover. He's not a mover. That's part of the
problem. But you have other quarterbacks like Brady can make, you know, chef salad with.
Well, you're talking about arguably the GOAT.
Yeah. So I'm just saying there are quarterbacks out there that can, and Aaron Rodgers.
I don't believe the golf isn't good hype. I don't believe that. I just think that the line is so bad. This line is really bad.
But let me ask you then, like, how are they going to be better next year? Like, how are they going to make a playoff run with this line? And how are they going to be better next year?
One of the problems is they lost the left guard early in the season. They had big expectations for him. He's a kid they drafted. They like him a lot. They have some other young players behind him that they're going to try to develop, and then they can go out and try and find a guy or two. Because I think Whitworth is going to retire after the season.
Right. The problem is you can't fix the interior when you got to fix the exterior too, because Whitworth is going to retire. So this plan that was supposed to coalesce, the interior is supposed to coalesce by this point, and then you go get the Whitworth successor at this point, because everything else is looking fine. Now they got to kind of fix everything. So
yeah, it's not a good situation. They don't have draft picks either.
They sure don't. But they got Jalen Ramsey. They got Jalen Ramsey. They got
who was beat a couple times last week, by the way. Yeah. Remember all the talk about he wanted to play more press man? Oh, I got to play more press man. I'm going to go to the Rams now. Didn't play a lot of press man last week. Played off a lot.
All right. So we're throwing the under in there. We have three games in the parlay already. We will not have this next game in the parlay because we have we need a sound drop for like a head-to-head fight. Like Chip Patterson and Tom Fornelli and Barton Simmons on the Cover 3 podcast, College Football Locks. They publish every Thursday or Friday. Great show. Highly recommend you subscribe to it, rate and review it if you want. Once you're done with our podcast, but it's a great show. They have a lock fight sound drop. And we have a little bit of a lock fight here because Pete likes the over in the Bucks game. Saints -5.5, over under 49.5. Meanwhile, RJ and I look at basic history and say this game's going under, and it's definitely going under, Pete.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know history says it's going under, but that Tampa Bay defense doesn't have any history. It's the way they play on the back end, they're bad on the back end, really bad. And oh, by the way, not only are they young and bad on the back end right now, they're banged up on the back end. They're getting guys off the street that are going to end up starting. I think Breeze bounces back here. He wasn't very good. The line wasn't very good. They will bounce back, score points, but I think Jameis will score his too. I think this one's going over.
Yeah, 7 straight Bucks games have gone over, so that would be the trend for this year. But I do think it's going to go under. Under's 9-2 in Tampa over the last 11 meetings between these teams. They just don't score as many points with those high totals. But I think the Saints defense has been playing well all year. They had a bad game against the Falcons. They'll get back to it. That's really the play for me, is that the Falcons will hold down the Bucks offense a little bit. And I think you can get anything you want with Michael Thomas, so he can light up the scoreboard. But still, 38-10 is under. You know, 31-7 is under. So I don't know, you're going to shut them down that much, but a little bit closer game.
No Lattimore.
Both of them in the low 20s. And
right.
I think
no Lattimore. And he's supposed to not play, and that means that Evans will go wild there.
Yeah.
I just think he's done a good job on Mike Evans in the past. I think this is an opportunity for the Bucks to score. I just think there's going to be a lot of points in this game.
Maybe so. I mean, when you look back at it, what, of the last 6 games played between these two teams in Tampa, 5-1 to the under, that despite the lowest total, lowest closing line being 46.5.
Yeah, what were the totals when they went to New Orleans?
They're not playing in New Orleans.
I know, but what have they been? They scored like 55 or 58 or something between the two of them.
They're on track.
What?
You're playing on a track instead of that.
Well, they're playing against air, the Saints, this week. That defense has nobody back there.
But the Saints don't throw deep.
No, they'll throw, though. I'm telling you, this is going to be one of those games where Breeze – oh, now you got Breeze washed up? Is that what you're saying?
I had him washed up before the beginning of the season. I was right. Bang up, man.
What do you think? They should go, back to Teddy Brinson?
Hey, Breeze is what? What's Breeze? What's Breeze record as a starting? I'm just kidding. no, you go with Breeze. But look, he has eight passes attempt. He's attempted eight passes of 20 air yards or more this season. I know he's been hurt for a long time, but like that, they don't throw deep anymore. He doesn't have that. They have Ted Ginn. I mean, that's it. They don't have a deep threat. They're more of a possession team. And I think that they're going to try to establish their run a little bit. Swing passes with Kamara. I don't think they're going to try and be explosive down the field. Maybe Tampa chunks it deep, but I think they'll try to be a little more conservative too to keep Breeze off the field.
Yeah, so, I think Tampa will score in this game, but I just don't think they're going to stop the Saints.
All right. 24-21 still goes under.
31-30 doesn't.
No, it doesn't. That's right. All right. Bills -6 at the Dolphins. Over under 40.5. Not expecting a lot of points here. Vegas isn't. You guys both agree, right, Pete, that the Dolphins is the player. Covering five straight games. They're finally getting some respect as only a six-point dog at home.
Let me say something first. I watched the Bills on tape, and for all the people that killed Josh Allen, and there are plenty of them out there, that wasn't on him. He had about three Knox dropped one on the sideline he should have caught. John Brown dropped one. The corners, is Cleveland actually played pretty good football, and there were many times where he went back and there was nobody open. He was late to Knox in the end zone on the one play. And I don't know if you guys saw that, but the fullback's kind of pointing at him. Mm-hmm. He's open. But I don't think he was designed to go that way, but he was late. Should have been a touchdown. He didn't get it to him right away. But this was more about the Bills' inability to get open and make guys win down the field. And that's a problem. I think Miami's playing hard. I think Buffalo is a team. They play hard, too. But I think Miami, you're going to give me 6 points in the Dolphins at home? I'm taking it. This Bills team doesn't blow anybody out. I'm taking the points.
What if I gave you 7? Because for some reason the line crept up as a Thursday afternoon.
I'll take seven.
6.5s across the board and even a few 7s. So Buffalo's been pretty good on the road despite letting that Cleveland game slip away, but the line doesn't make any sense to me either. Miami is not the same team that was blasted in September. They've covered 5 straight. That's the hottest streak against the spread in the NFL right now. And they had their best game of the year offensively against the Bills. It was a 31-21 final, but it wasn't really because Micah Hyde returned the onside kick for touchdown. It was a 3-point game up until that point. Dolphins were leading it, heading into the fourth quarter, 14-9. So it's not like that Bills were just running away with that game. 25th ranked offense in DVOA for Buffalo, 26th in points per drive. That Miami D has gotten better. They're playing hard for Flores. They're coming together. Yes, they played bad offenses during that run. I would say Buffalo is also a bad offense with guys dropping balls, can't complete things, can't get over 250 yards of offense. Man. So Buffalo hasn't been more than a 4-point road favorite since 2014. They were once that year, and then before that it was 2008. So one time in 11 years they've been more than a four-point road
crazy.
Favorite. You're going to make them 6.5, even against the Dolphins. I wouldn't take that because they're playing hard.
I know you go back and rewatch those games, but you saw the play I'm talking about on the sideline that stopped a Knox dropped it yeah. right in his hands.
Yeah, Knox has some issues.
He did miss McKenzie deep. He missed him, but he got a personal foul on his face on that mm-hmm. play. But for all, like, the completion percentage can be so misleading when you watch the games because there are so many drops and guys don't win. And his line, by the way, the left tackle's had problems the last couple of weeks. I mean, he got hit last week. And he's not great right now, but he needs help. They should have made a deal for, like, he should have got A.J. Green or something. Like, that's mm-hmm. what they miss is that guy, that big linear receiver who can go out and do
something. Since he wasn't trading A.J. Green for whatever yeah. reason, but.
You never know.
Yeah, they should have. They need if they can go get a number one receiver in the draft next year, I mean, it locks everybody in. John Brown's a good deep threat as a number two. You don't want Isaiah McKenzie running that because he's not a starting receiver.
No.
Cole Beasley's great in the slot.
Right.
So, I mean, then it kind of opens up the whole offense if you have that number one.
Yep.
So that's what they
agree.
Need.
But Miami wins this week. Not only covers, they win.
I would say probably, yeah. I would think that they win too.
I tend to agree. Do we want to get really greedy here and throw him in? I mean, like, I like the Dolphins. I just didn't want to make him a best bet.
Yes, throw him in the damn parlay. Yes.
All right. Should we make the just really juice this thing up and make the Jaguars and Dolphins money line?
Yes.
We should?
Do it.
Yeah.
I got an idea.
Let's do a separate one with the money line.
Let's go down swinging.
Let's do a 4-game, because that'll be 6 games. That's too much in a parlay.
Right.
Let's do a 4-game parlay with the totals and the sides that we like, and then do a 2-game money line underdog parlay with the Jaguars and the Dolphins.
Like it. We've got to add another team into that too. We got to have one more. If you're going to do two money lines, you got to have one that we like as a spread team.
You don't have to, but
it'd be more fun though. We'll get more money out of it. We'll get more out of it.
Let's just look and see what the, so if
is that
we
my last best, is that my last best bet?
It is. Jaguars, Dolphins. The Dolphins are plus 230 at home. that would pay 6.5, almost 6.6 to one.
Let's throw one more team in there and it'll pay about, 20 to one.
Just take 6.6. What
doesn't have to be a money line parlay. It could just be a regular team.
Let's just do a two team money line parlay.
All right. Let's do it.
This is what we're going to do. These are our parlays. We're going to have the Dolphins plus 230 on the money line.
Right.
Obviously, we like the Dolphins with the points. And the Jaguars plus 130 on the money line. We like the Jaguars with the points as well. But you're going to parlay that. $100 would get you $659.
Wow.
That'll make up for all the 10 weeks of losing we did.
Yeah, that would be the winner get you even parlay. That's what it would be.
Right. And then our other, didn't we have three more? Am I crazy? Our other three were the, oh yeah. Wait, did I mess this up and we only have four picks?
Yeah, I don't think we need another pick because we had the over mm-hmm. in the Ravens game.
Just take those two spreads, take the over in the Ravens and the under in the Rams.
Right. There you go. Right. And then just make that a four team. We'll play the spreads and then we'll have a separate one with the money line. That's what we'll do, Brinson.
Okay. No. We had the, I'm just an idiot. All right, Garrett. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. So we'll do the four. We have the Dolphins, Jags, Bears, Rams under. And Texas Ravens over.
Correct. We do that as a straight line spreads, and then we'll do the money line on the other thing. So we have two parlays. So we have two parlays this week for everybody.
Two winning parlays.
They're winning this week. You're getting even. It's even Steven day.
Again, to be clear, the first parlay is Jaguars plus 3 at Colts. Dolphins plus 6 at home against the Bills. It is the over in the Rams-Texans, which we have at 49.5, but we'll take anything up to
Ravens, Texans.
53.5.
Yeah.
We'll put it in at 50. I think 51 is what's out there now. 50 yeah. or 50.
Well, we'll take it. If it goes up to 53, we'll take it.
But up to 53 is fine.
Yeah.
And then the under of Bears Rams, which is currently 40, but we would take under anything 38.5 or higher. Pete, walk us through your best bets, which features some of those.
All right. We got Miami in the money line. I'll take them with 6. I think they win the game outright. Love that one. Baltimore, Houston, we all agree on that one going over. I like the Rams. The Chargers plus the points in Mexico City. It'll be like a home game for them, actually. New Orleans, Tampa, over. I disagree with you guys on that one. We all like Jacksonville, and I'll take the Rams minus the 6.5.
5-1. Looks good.
Is that what it is?
5-1.
So I can go like this?
Yeah, 1-5. There you go.
We'll go this way.
There you go. Do it. 5-1. That's 1-5.
1-5.
There that's 5-1.
That yeah, you got to do that because that's how you got to 4-2 because you went 6-.
I got a 1 for you too, Brinson. I just can't put it up here.
I don't know if we can blur out YouTube's. That'd be a lot of work.
You know what? The last couple of weeks, I haven't said this, and it hasn't worked for me not saying it. So I'm going to say it. You're going rotten this week, Brinson. You're in the toilet, buddy.
Didn't you just go 4-2?
It didn't work for me. He's still winning though. And he's bragging. He comes on the air before he even introduces us. RJ, come on. That's disrespect.
Yeah, one winning.
I'm used to it with him.
Pete's little like fake snake skin of kindness falls right off. He's like, yeah, go rot.
Oh yeah, it's gone. Brinson, you know why? Because you didn't even introduce us today and you were bragging before you even said, hey, there's RJ, there's Pete.
Somebody on this podcast is red hot.
It's always that little chuckle. So there. Back at you.
Was that Will talking or was it Pete? I couldn't tell.
Brinson. Bobby Brinson, croquet and oysters dinner later on tonight.
Can't have that in the bad weather, though. Can't go outside with the oysters.
I know. Sad. And in fact, you know what? My parents are having their kitchen redone, so no oysters this year.
No oysters for Thanksgiving?
No oysters for Thanksgiving.
One thing before I get out of here. Are you driving around the state of North Carolina for Thanksgiving this year?
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. I'm off the hook because my father-in-law is going to come up on Saturday for the Carolina State game, so I don't have to go to Concord. My parents are having their kitchen redone, so I can't go to High Point. We're going one place, spending one night, and I might come back here and work on Thanksgiving Day.
What about that? What about that? And you know what? What about the family? I give original Bobby Brinson a lot of credit here for scheduling a kitchen renovation around the holidays. Kudos, Bobby. That means nobody has to come to your damn house.
Actually, I didn't even think about that factor. My dad might have done that because he kept pushing my mom back and back and back and back. And finally, he's like, all right, let's go now. And so, he's knocked out Christmas and Thanksgiving.
He's smart. He's a smart man. He has to have nobody at his house. That's the best thing ever.
I'm going to text him that right now.
Tell him. He's the hero of this podcast this week. Your dad.
We need to get his parlay.
Yeah, we should get a hero of the week. Get somebody to sponsor a hero of the week. How about that?
Bob's winning parlay is no Will and no what's your brother's name?
It's Charlie. No Will. Yeah, and Charlie.
Charlie and Will out of there for Thanksgiving. That's a winner.
But you know what? Don't worry. This podcast won't go anywhere for Thanksgiving. We will have a full slate of episodes. We'll tell you about that as it gets closer. In the meantime, we got to let Pete Prisco go so he can do CBS Sports HQ. And I forgot to do it on the freaking top again. RJ White brought to us by Sportsline. Go to sportsline.com/join. Use promo code White and you will get first month for $1. Ton of great picks on there. And by the way, not that you don't want RJ's picks, but I went on there earlier and I was looking because I wanted to see what Tom Fornelli had for college football totals this week. This is the week of the wonders, guys. The wind is picking up. The weather's here. Vegas has set the totals too high. You can hammer those unders with a bunch of wind, and Tom's got them on there on Sportsline. So make sure and go check that out. Sportsline.com/join. Use promo code WHITE.
We need an arc to get out of here today. It's been raining 2 days straight in South Florida. You can't even see the –
Tampa game's going under. If the weather holds, going under.
I don't think so.
See it. All right, Pete. Go see enjoy your evening. We'll be right back.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right. Pete has left us. He has left us forever, or at least till next week. Prisco has left the building, something like that. RJ, we got 7 games to get through. We already gave it out the parlay. We'll remind you about it at the end along with the best bets. So, listen to the whole show if you want those. First up, the Patriots at Eagles. Over under 44.5. Am I a sucker, RJ, for loving the Patriots in this spot?
Well, if you look at team strengths and the matchups and all that good stuff, you'd probably say line's a little high. Eagles probably are a good value, but Patriots 20-9 against the spread after a loss since 2011, 9-2 on the road after a bye since 2001, including 4-0 since 2014. It's a revenge spot for Bill Belichick, the rare revenge spot that you get for Bill Belichick after Doug Peterson stole his lunch money in the Super Bowl. So, New England's beat a bunch of bad teams. You can argue that, but Philly's wins aren't that great either outside of Green Bay on Thursday Night Football. Philly also lost to a bad Atlanta team, lost to Detroit at home, so they are kind of up and down. I think you can throw out the revenge and the trends and all that, and I would like Philly, but, I'm not going to fade New England. So for me, it's a stay away. I don't think there's great value on the Patriots -3.5, but if you get it at -3, I kind of like them.
Yeah, I would rather have the Patriots at 3, obviously, and the line is 3.5, as we mentioned. You pointed out the bye weeks have 9-2 against the spread on away game. Bye. So like coming out of a bye on the road, he's 9-2 against the spread. Of course, 9-2 straight up as well. And if you look at we look at that in terms of the pass defense that the Eagles have allowed, they're pretty good. They're a very good rush defense, but not a great rush defense. Not a great pass defense, not a ton of sacks, not a ton of picks. The two games that Bill Belichick lost on the road, one back in 2000, two games he lost on the road following a bye. And the two he didn't cover. 2011, week 8 in Pittsburgh against the number one ranked defense in football as a 3-point favorite. They lose outright 25-17. The other one in 2013 on Monday night, week 11 in Charlotte against the Panthers, they lose outright 24-20. And so you're talking, and that was the Panthers, by the way, that year, number two, defense in football. And so the Eagles, while I agree they're a bad matchup potentially for the Patriots in terms of being able to run the ball physically, maybe that softens up New England. I think he'll have the run defense a little short up coming out of the bye. It is a revenge spot, as you pointed out, for the Super Bowl win. Doug Peterson does not have Frank Reich to lean on. And I like the Patriots to win this one. I just think Belichick gets it done. I mean, it's, look, I'm getting a field goal with an extra hook with Bill Belichick. I'm probably a sucker. Everyone is going to take the Patriots in this spot, obviously.
Should be a pretty big game for Mosa New, right? I mean, they traded for him a few weeks ago, had the bye now to integrate him more into the offense. They really needed more of a receiving threat. So we'll see if N'Keal Harry's active and if he's playing. And I don't think he's going to have a big role in his first game. So I think Mosa New maybe, you know, 12 targets, 9 catches, some kind of game out of nowhere. We're like, oh, right, they had 2 weeks to prepare for this. And now Sanu's integrated into the offense.
I would be curious, but what would the prop will be for Mosa New catches? Probably won't be. It is a little weird that the line hadn't moved, I guess, but they're not going to make the Patriots, they're not going to make the Eagles like 4 or 5 point dogs at home, mm-hmm. and they're not going to make the Patriots a field goal or less. So I think that's probably why, right? And no Alshon Jeffrey in this game, no DeSean Jackson, obviously. There's just not a lot to beat the Patriots with outside the run.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Mosa New, you can get him right now, at least 5 catches is -121. The props are not out. What do you think about that? 5 catches?
Yeah, he'll have 5 catches. I mean, at worst, you're pushing on 5 catches.
I might like that. 5 catches -121. By the way, you can take it for 9 catches at +1166. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. A little bit on that. Like I'm saying, I expect him to have double-digit targets in this game. So I wouldn't mind that at all. That Philly secondary has not been good this year. So.
Well, let's just wait for this to load. I'm just kidding. I'll figure that out later. I like that 9 catches. Cowboys at Lions. Cowboys -6.5 going into Detroit. This line was 3.5 on the early release that wasn't really official because Matthew Stafford, we don't know his status even as of Thursday afternoon as we're recording this, but I think it is very likely, almost certain that he doesn't play. And that really makes it a Cowboys or nothing, right? For me, I mean, at least that's for me.
Yeah, 6.5 is a fake line. It's for the contest. They have to lock their lines in Wednesday night, but this wasn't out anywhere. I think you might have been able to find 4.5 at some jersey books, and I would take that right away because, like Brinson's saying, I don't think Stafford's playing in this game. Once he gets announced as out, I expect it's going to go over 7. So if you can get value under 7, get it now. I would actually probably put it close to like 9.5 because Detroit just doesn't do anything well. You know, the one thing they have is a pass offense. They were like number 4, number 5 pass offense before he got hurt, and everything else they rank like 27. 28th in the league in a bunch of categories. So assuming he's out again, I think Cowboys are a fine play. They still have the number 1 offense in the league per DVOA. And Driscoll kills the passing game. You know, he can move around a bit with his legs, but he's not going to give you a bunch of passing stats. And even if Stafford does play, Cowboys do have a solid pass defense, 6th in yards per attempt. And that's obviously going to be a lot better if they're faced up with Driscoll. And when the Cowboys have won this year, they've won by double digits. A lot of games winning 16, 18, that kind of thing. So I would lay it all the way up to, you know, even 7, 7.5. I think it's good value because I could expect it to get to 9.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you. And it's entirely likely that you won't see this line actually out there in a bettable fashion until it's up to 9 or 10. And I don't know that you can lay 10 points on the road with the Cowboys. I mean, right? Like, you just can't go the full 10 on the road.
Well, if you think they're going to win, I mean, they've been winning by blowouts. So I don't see why not against a bad Detroit team. You know, it's tough to do that laying that many points with Jason Garrett, but he's been winning. He's been blowing out bad teams. So
yeah, and unlike the Bears, they'll probably finish it off because they have a good defense. They have a better defense. I mean, the Bears have a fine defense, but like,
if the Bears had Dak Prescott and
the Bears had Dak Prescott, they'd be a football team. He'd be the MVP. Yeah,
all those Detroit, those Dallas, you know, linemen and everything, like they'd have scored 38 points in that game, and it wouldn't have been close. So.
Falcons at the Panthers. Panthers -5.5, over under 49.5. As we talk, this line has come down to Panthers -4.5. Do you think that's more and neither of us have a best bet here. Do you think that's more, I almost made Panthers mine, but a little something fishy about it. Do you think that's more a result of, the Falcons' great performance or the Panthers being banged up?
It really seems to me like they're buying into one game of the Falcons, and it was a good game. It came out of nowhere, but people have wanted to believe in the Falcons all year, and they've been being disappointed. They were, for a long time, they were the worst ATS team in the league. I think they started 1-6, 1-7, finally got some decent games here, and then they had that win out of nowhere. I'm not buying into them after one win. I do think that it is an issue that I think three of the top cornerbacks for Carolina aren't practicing. So if they have cluster injuries at cornerback, that's obviously a place where Falcons can take advantage because they have great receivers between Julio and Ridley and all their guys. I thought Carolina played well last week in a tough environment in the snow. Kyle Allen, I had some doubts about him. That's why I was leaning toward Green Bay. I might have even taken him as a best bet on the pod. And they almost won the game. You know, they were right there at the end. So I think they can have success against an Atlanta defense that still ranks last in percentage of drives with a score and last in turnovers percentage created. And this is Atlanta's first game outdoors all year, which I don't know how that's possible when you're, you know, midway through November. And they were 3-10 against the spread outdoors the last 2 years. So this is not a spot where they play well. So I think Carolina should be able to run on Atlanta's defense. I do worry about Matt Ryan getting the backdoor cover if those corners are missing the game. So that's the only, if you can get it low enough down to 4, 3.5, then I'm less worried about it because there's, you know, less room to work there. But if we were talking 5.5, which is where I locked in for the podcast, that's why I kind of pulled back. They were a best bet for me for a little bit. I kind of pulled back because I can see that backdoor happening.
Worth noting, Matt Ryan, with his ankle was limited in practice on Thursday. Didn't practice on Wednesday. We'll see what happens on Friday. I would imagine he's a full practice. Like, that seems like a ramp up type of situation, and that may be why the line dropped as well. The Falcons shouldn't be missing anybody on offense except for Austin Hooper, who's expected to miss some significant time. And that's really where I think James Bradberry becomes key. He full practice on Thursday. That's big for the Panthers. Although I'm not sure that anybody's containing Julio. You know, like, I don't know that anybody's slowing down Julio, James Bradberry or not. I mean, Julio might have a monster week.
And they're missing Freeman too on that Atlanta offense. So it's not like they're, you know, we talk about injuries sometimes, with the other side, but, it is going to affect you when you, I think Austin Hooper had like the most tight end points in fantasy, or at least was averaging the most last time I checked my league. So he's been a big deal for that offense, and they traded away Sanu. So they have a little bit less on their receiving core already. So now you go down to Brian Hill as your number one running back, who he's looked good in spurts, but can he carry the offense? I'm not sure. And then if he can't get it done, you can really focus all your attention on stopping Julio and Calvin Ridley, because who else is going to beat you?
Yeah, with you. Would go pay if it gets to less than a touchdown, I'll take the Panthers. I think they find a way to win this game. Broncos at the Vikings. Vikings minus 10.5. That's a big number. Over under is 40. You know, I have the Vikings listed as a best bet, so I probably can't bail on them now. I don't really feel great about it because their offensive line's a little banged up. You know, they are coming off a big win. But you know what? I don't care. I'm going to take them anyway because it's home field advantage. It's Mike Zimmer. Vic Fangio, whatever. The defense for the Broncos is fine, but I think that they will completely lock down the Denver offense here. And I see I think it's going to be like 21-7 or 21-10, which will still cover for me. Brandon Allen, a lovely hairdo, but, in a nice game against the Browns. And the Browns defense is not bad, but playing against the Browns at home versus playing against a Mike Zimmer defense at US Bank Stadium, RJ, not even close.
Yeah, I would kind of lean to the Vikings. 10.5 is a little too much for me because I do think the plan's going to be run the ball a lot. Cousins gets like 10 pass attempts like he had the first game of the season, and they just, you know, that's where it gets a little bit harder to cover. My best bet's the under 40 points, because no matter which way this game goes, I can't see Brandon Allen going up and scoring points like you were just saying. These are two great defenses per DVOA. Denver's actually better than Minnesota in DVOA, 6 as opposed to 8th. Minnesota's had a lot of overs lately, but they played a lot of good offenses. I don't think you can categorize this Denver offense anywhere as good. Minnesota offense can sit back and run this one. You know that's what they want to do. 3rd in rush attempts on the season, 32nd in pass attempts. Can't expect much from Denver's offense on the road. When Minnesota's favored by 10 or more at home, the under is 10-1 since 2007. And the one miss was by half a point. It was 42.5, and it went to all the way over to 43. So good job there cashing that. So this does certainly feel like a 23-9 type game, like you were saying. I think the under is the best bet there.
Okay. I don't mind the under at all there. Jets at the Redskins. The Redskins are -1. Over under 38.5. And yet the line has moved towards the Redskins. The Redskins are now -2 on the market. Are you, Did you bail on the Jets? We had the Jets listed. We'll let you bail if you had him as a best bet. I was going to put him as a best bet too. I went with the under instead. That has actually gone up. I'm a little worried about it. What do you think about this game? And feel free to, you know, you can freestyle on your best bet here.
I'm not going to bail. I'm going to still take it. Like, worrying too much about the market has kind of screwed me out of some picks in the contest. Worrying about that I'm not getting great line value on some picks I like, so I avoid them, take some other stuff, and that's how I go 1-3-1 and 1-4 and that kind of thing. So I'm sticking with the Jets. Jets +1 on the contest. +2.5 is available at Westgate. You might be able to get up to 2.5. Look, that Washington pass offense is a joke. Their last 6 weeks, their pass yardage has been 121, 78, 166, 50, 131, and 116. They're not even trying to throw, and they're not getting anywhere with that pass offense. Committed to the run, but they're facing a Jets defense that's number one in yards per rush, number two in DVOA. They're right there with the Bucks as one of the best rush defenses in the league. The Washington defense is 26th in points per drive, 24th in DVOA. That Jets offense finally looks like it's improving a little bit. Despite all the points and the win, I don't think they were great. You know, there's a lot, it was a low yardage total for both teams in that game, despite the high score. Gase not getting fired. They announced that he's going to be back for 2020 already. They give stability to the players. They seem to react positively to it. They found out about it previous to that Giants game. They found out, I think, on Wednesday. And Washington's playing under interim coach. Those guys don't know where they're going to, you know, who they're going to be playing for next year. So then you throw in no home field to speak up for Washington. They lost 8 straight at home. Their last win at home was over a year ago. I give them 1 point of home field advantage in my numbers because it's just a bad home field. The fans don't care. They're not showing up for this game. You'll probably have more Jets fans in the stands. And yeah, I think the Jets win. They really had some positive signs last week, so I don't know why you wouldn't take the Jets here. I don't know what the market's seeing to bet up the Redskins. It might be a little bit. Sometimes you see in the middle of the week, once they raise the limits a bit in Vegas, you get some max bets from professional bettors, and then they adjust the lines to build off of that, and then those guys will come in hard on the other side and get their bigger bets on when you raise the limits more towards Saturday and Sunday. So that might be what we see, and then the line comes back down, and it ends up being a pick 'em by Sunday. So who knows what's going to happen.
Something stinks about this game, I'll tell you that. And you know what it might be is that, but here's the problem is like, do we really think the Redskins are going to not run the ball and just start passing the ball with like Dwayne Haskins and Terry McLaurin? I think McLaurin could catch a long touchdown pass. That wouldn't surprise me, but like Bill Callahan has been hell bent on running the ball, shortening games. He's not going to stop doing that. And just because the Jets are better against the run and actually pretty good against the run and terrible against the pass, he's not going to change his philosophy. So I'm with you. I think I like the under in this spot.
It's a really low number. That's the only reason I stayed away from it. You know, Dwayne Haskins drops a ball and Jets, Jamal Adams scoops it up, scores, and all of a sudden it's a 40-point game instead of 34, and it ruins your under.
Yeah, there's a chance. It's going to be cold. It gets a little warm. It's going to be real cold in D.C. coming in that morning. The temperature is supposed to get up to like 41 or 2. Wind at 12 miles an hour. If the weather changes and we get rain and wind in D.C., love the under. But let's see how that plays out. Cardinals at the 49ers, a rematch of a game a couple of weeks ago. 49ers minus 11, over under 45. I was looking in the CBS Sports office pick 'em pools. Because, you know, those lock really early, like Tuesday. It's like 13.5 for the 49ers. I assume that came down with the news that George Kittle's out. Emmanuel Sanders probably not going to go. You know, the Cardinals, the 49ers are sort of a look ahead spot. The Cardinals played them recently. You think all that factors into the line dropping?
Yeah, I think it's more the injuries than anything. Kittle, he was ruled out initially by Shanahan on Wednesday, and then the 49ers came out and announced, they said, he's not really out. You know, he just meant like, what if he is out? That's what we're talking about, the scenario, which isn't what he said. So I would assume he's going to be out. We don't really know that at this point. The bigger thing is Joe Staley, I think, had surgery, on his fractured fingers. So he's out. And they've had to deal without having him. And it was a big boost for their offense, having them back for that big Seattle game. Then he goes right out. So the first meeting, I think, was a little fluky. I wanted to take the Niners once it got down. I think it's 10 in the market in a lot of spots. Wanted to take them because Niners were up 28-17 before one big play to Isabella, 88 yards, made it, and the 2-pointer made it a close game, kind of a false final for me. But those injuries on offense are going to lower San Fran's scoring upside in this game. Arizona's had 25 plus in 5 of their last 6, and the good run game can exploit that San Fran defense, as they showed in that first meeting. I think Arizona's earned enough of an upgrade in the last 6 weeks where the line should probably be single digits. So my lean would be Cardinals +11, +10.5, whatever you're seeing there. But I'm probably just staying away from it. Kind of want to see where the injury report is on Friday, then maybe jump in on the Cardinals before the line gets too low.
Yeah, the Cardinals were my pick in the pickups pool. The only thing I'm worried is that like everybody's going to be on the Cardinals. I think if you look at the bet percentage, Action Network has it at 79% of the tickets are on Arizona. The lines dropped. It's 10.5, 10 or 10.5, 67% of the money. So there's a discrepancy there. If you guess the single digits, maybe there's some value in the 49ers, but I mean, the Cardinals did play them well. I don't know. I think the injury reports matter in this one. I'm with you. This is one of the hardest games to look at this week. And so I would stay away. Bengals at the Raiders. The Oakland effing Raiders are favored by double digit points in the year of our Lord 2019. Raiders minus 10.5, over under 48.5. I love the Raiders in this spot. I got the Raiders as the best bet. I'd love to get 10. I'd much rather have 10 than 10.5, but I love the Raiders, and I think they're going to smash factor the freaking Bengals for a couple of reasons. One, the Bengals are the worst team in football against a run by far and away, by like 30 yards. It's a ton. Like the Bengals give up, 171 yards rushing per game. They give up, 5.2 yards per carry, and they're starting a rookie quarterback. Love Brian Finley, NC State guy, but this is a team in the Bengals that passed over Paul Gunther, the Raiders defensive coordinator, multiple times for a potential job, ended up going with Zach Taylor, who is now starting Ryan Finley. And I think Gunther will be gunning for this kid. I think he'll be willing to confuse him. I know the Raiders pass D and run D, isn't that great? I think they will get aggressive with him and throw him a bunch of junk that he isn't ready for. I think Finley will struggle in this game. It's sort of trending like AJ Green might not play again. It sounds like he's creeping closer to doubtful after everybody thought he was definitely going to play. Wouldn't blame him at all if he didn't play. And then the other motivating factor here for me, when you look at Josh Jacobs having a huge year, 811 rush yards so far, 7 rush TDs. John Gruden wants this dude to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Bad. I'm telling you, he wants him to win Offensive Rookie of the Year because if he does, then he can say, look, the Bears stink. We're better than they were this year. Khalil Mack disappeared in the second half of the season. The guy I got for Khalil Mack is winning Rookie of the Year. And now I got a better pick, a worse pick. I got a lower pick than the Bears, and they're handing me a great pick. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And people are going to talk about how he's won the Khalil Mack trade, and we're all going to apologize to John Gruden. He's going to feed Josh Jacobs. Raiders rolling this game.
No notes. No, everybody is on. Everybody's going to be on. I mean, that's the mentality of everyone with the Raiders right now. It's like, why would you not take the Raiders? They're playing really well. And since he's a terrible team, I can't give you any reason to trust them. But if I had to pick a lean in this game, 10.5, I'm taking the Bengals. Oakland's defense is terrible. 29th in DVOA, 31st in points per drive. Coming off a rare good performance, I don't think that holds up. And they, like, we didn't believe in the Colts last week when we said take the Dolphins plus 10.5, 11, whatever it was, because the Colts don't beat anybody more than 7. The Raiders haven't beat anyone by more than 8. I don't think you can trust them to keep the back door closed, not even against Ryan Finley, not even if AJ Green sits, which it looks like is going to happen. Since he had no chance of keeping up with that Baltimore offense, but they did run well. It looked like during the bye, they figured out something with the run game and they were able to have success with it. So if you can do that to kind of shorten the game a little bit and get some success running the ball against an Oakland D that has not been good, and then you can get hit a little bit, Tyler Boyd, Tyler Eifert, all these guys, they have some weapons in the passing game. Keep the pass off Finley just a little bit, use his mobility. I think it could be a little bit closer game. We did see they played close games unexpectedly early in the year. I think they can get back to that. This seems more like a 6 or 7 point game than a 14 point game to me. So I would lean to the Bengals, wouldn't make it a best bet, but you just know nobody's going to take the Bengals in this spot, and this is why you should be taking them here.
All right. Please don't do that. You're making me feel bad about this bet. I like the Raiders. I'm taking the
Raiders. Lay all the points, Brinson. That's why you're winning the contest. Lay all the points.
All right. I'm anti-sharping. I'm squaring. You gotta know when to sharp. You gotta know when to square.
One of those days is coming up. I have taken a lot of favorites the last 2 weeks because it just felt like we were about to have one of those weeks where the public just cashes big time in Vegas. Did not happen. These underdogs are still killing it. None of these public sides are hitting. So I'm off that now. Give me the Jets. Give me the Dolphins, and I'll just ride with it.
Yeah. You be careful now, RJ. Might flip on you. Pete Prisco's best bets for week 11. Speaking of the Dolphins, Dolphins plus 6 against Buffalo. The Houston Baltimore over 49.5. The Los Angeles Chargers plus 3.5 against the Chiefs on Monday night. The New Orleans Tampa Bay over 49.5. Jacksonville plus 2.5 at Indianapolis. and the Los Angeles Rams -6.5 on Sunday Night Football against the Chicago Bears. RJ, who are your best bets? What are your best bets?
I also have Miami +6 versus Buffalo. I think that's a great one. Take the under on Tampa Bay, New Orleans, 49.5 against Pete there. Denver, Minnesota is going under 40. The Jets are going to win at Washington. Houston, Baltimore games going over 49 and going over 51 too, which is probably what you're seeing on the market right now. And then Bears, Rams under 40 might be the best one of the whole slate because that they're not scoring points in that game.
All right. And my best bets are the New Orleans, Tampa Bay under 49. Minnesota, I've got 2 10.5 point favorites on here. Minnesota -10.5 against Detroit. Oakland -10.5 against Cincinnati. Ay, ay, ay. If you can find somebody else for a good teaser, that would work too. You can expect to see that in your inbox on Friday afternoon, RJ, involving those two teams. The Redskins, Jets under 38.5, a very low number, but they play fast and run the ball. Houston, Baltimore over 49.5. That's a consensus pick for all of us. The Patriots -3.5 at Philly. Hello. I'm shoveling chalk in my face this week. And the Bears, Rams under of 40. So let's get to the two parlays as well. Parlay one. These are all sides or totals. No, we have a money line parlay as well because we like it. Parlay one is the Houston Texans, Baltimore Ravens over. We would take it up to 53.5. Prefer, obviously, 50, 51, something like that. The Rams under 40. Take it down to 38.5. Anything higher than that, you can take the under on it, but you obviously prefer 40. Miami Dolphins +6. And the Jacksonville Jaguars +2.5, prefer +3. And then parlay two, it's a money line underdog parlay. Jaguars, Dolphins. Pays out almost 7-1. Let's get that cash this week, RJ. We're hitting both parlays this week. Which underdogs are losing by like 40 points to cost us the parlay?
Yeah, I liked it when you saw my best bets, you took like the three of my totals, so I can't catch up to you. You're probably basically shutting me out from coming back.
That's why I replied to you individually first and said we were on three of the same. I did. You can go read my picks, which were published before you sent that article, and it will say I like the over in this one. I like the under in this one.
I don't read your articles, Brinson.
I don't blame you. It's a slideshow. Why'd you cook the slideshow? 2019. Here for the page views. All right. We are also here for the reviews. If you like reviews, leave us one on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate everyone who does it. 5-star, toss it in there. Say something nice. Say something funny. We'll read it on the podcast. Maybe tell us what character. I don't know. Make fun of Pete Prisker or something like that. Subscribe to our Facebook page. Big Six Podcast on Facebook. Follow RJ White on Twitter, RJWhite1. Go to sportsline.com/join. Use promo code White. You'll get your first month for $1. And we will talk to you guys on Monday morning. See you, RJ.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.